Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmad with you. A lot going on, man. Deflategate just won't go away. Get into that. Busy show. Jake Plummer will be with us. Our weekly conversation with Jake Plummer brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. We'll have Jake Plummer coming up in about 15 minutes. Senator John McCain will be with us. I want to talk to the senator about his plans for next week with everything going on here in the Valley. Also, these comments by the mayor of Glendale that the Super Bowl, they're going to lose money on the event. What's that all about? So Senator John McCain will be with us. We'll visit with Tom Luganville, ESPN National College Football Recruiting Director. Tom coming up at about 10:50, and then we'll hear from Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw, NFL on Fox analyst. So that'll be in the hour number two. So busy, busy show in front of us in terms of guests and a lot on my mind. I want to start with the Suns game from last night, start locally, because they won again. I went out last night to check out one of the top high school kids in the state, so I missed the first half of the game, but I came back, and as an NBA game goes, come back and watch the last 3 minutes, and that's typically the way the game ends up. So we'll get to that here in a couple of minutes, some of the other things in my mind. But first, here is what is going on in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino, the place to get away, to stay and have some fun. The big game is coming up next week. Head up to Pine Top, just outside of Pine Top in the White Mountains, the Sunrise Ski Resort. What a terrific combination. You stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. You have some breakfast there, some lunch, get away, eat some food, have some fun. Head up to Sunrise, do your skiing, come back that night, have some dinner, pull down on the slots, and enjoy yourself. Get away from it all, whether it's this coming weekend, whether it's during the weekdays, snow season, ski season is here. You can head over to the ski shop, get all your stuff that you need, and head up to Sunrise and stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Doesn't matter when, where, the Honda Resort and Casino, the place, in the beautiful White Mountains. You want to get out of the Valley? I run into so many people that say, hey, Brad, I want to head up to the White Mountains. I've been hearing you talk about it. Just to the northeast part of our great state, that is the Honda Resort and Casino, or wherever you're taking us in around the country, Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. So the Suns had a 25-point lead in the first half. And it seems to me that for the most part, when the Suns get production out of their guards, they win games. Eric Bledsoe had a career-high 33. Isaiah Thomas had 27. And the Suns were able to hang on and win. It's a nice win on one hand. You could say this, that it's a tainted win in that the Blazers did not have LaMarcus Aldridge and they didn't have Robin Lopez. And I never thought I'd bring up the name Robin Lopez and they didn't have him on the floor because he was such a stiff when he was here with the Suns. But nonetheless, they didn't have two of their players on the inside, and Aldridge is an all-star. But the Suns late in the game found ways, found plays, made plays to get the victory.
Portland's up by two. Here's Lillard to the basketball. Minute 49 remaining. Out it comes to Darrell Wright. His 15-footer is short. Rebound scramble, and the Suns have it. P.J. Tucker gets the ball to Bledsoe. Bledsoe on the drive. Bledsoe scores, and we're tied at 110. Oh, brother!
Okay, so there's the great Al McCoy. 26-18 for the Suns. They've won seven in a row at home. 14 of 18. That's a good win. That is not one of the bottom feeders. And there's many, many bottom feeders. And as the team struggles to try to get into the playoffs, they weren't helped by Oklahoma. Actually, they weren't helped by Washington last night. I did see the end of the Washington game. How do you leave Russell Westbrook completely, totally unguarded with 0.8 seconds left?
The first thing they teach you, Brad, stop the ball. Just stop the ball.
It's really not that hard.
Please stop the ball.
So, you know, the Wizards did the Suns no favors because Oklahoma City won the game. But the only favor the Wizards did is the fans were chanting KD, KD last night for Kevin Durant's eventual departure from Oklahoma City so that he'll go home and play for the Wizards. His mom is back there and all that stuff. But and they have James Harden here tomorrow night. Is James Harden the MVP, Eric, of the first half? If we're looking at MVP players, has LeBron James been the MVP? I'd say no.
I'd say no, too.
I'd say no. But you know, you watch, and James Harden is here tomorrow night, the former Sun Devil that was here for just too short a period of time in shorts, T-shirt, and backpack, minding his own business, is now blown up. I watched last night Golden State and Houston. That was terrific stuff.
The Rockets either look really, really good or really, really bad.
Yeah.
Last night, they pretty much looked pretty bad.
Robert Sarver is smiling today. The Forbes magazine valuation of franchises came out late yesterday. Now, remember, Robert Sarver purchased the Suns and the arena, and I believe the Rattlers were part of that mix, for around $410 to $420 million, depending on who you speak to. Well, Forbes came out yesterday, and by the way, there's like six teams worth $1 billion now. Thank you, Donald Sterling. The Suns, according to Forbes, are worth $910 million now. Again, Robert paid like $410, $420 10 years ago, so he's doubled. Revenue of $145 million, operating income of $28 million. He has a new naming rights deal with Talking Stick. He's fine. And he's saying they need a new arena. The starters for the All-Star Game are going to be announced tonight in the NBA, and that's fine. The overriding story today that everybody's talking about is Deflategate. It's still, when it's the number two story this morning on the Today Show, the number two item in our country of level of importance is whether or not footballs were inflated properly, because it's the integrity of the game and it borders around WWF if they don't get this right. I thought it was really interesting today. We'll play some of these comments from Bill Belichick. I've got Jake Plummer coming up here in a few minutes. I'm actually going to ask Senator McCain about all this. You know, he's a big sports fan, and what are they saying up in Washington about this stuff? Here's Bill Belichick. Let's go right in order, Eric. Bill Belichick, I had no idea what was going on Sunday.
I came in Monday morning. I was shocked to learn of the news reports about the footballs. I had no knowledge whatsoever of this situation until Monday morning. I would say I've learned a lot more about this process in the last 3 days than I knew or had talked about it in the last 40 years.
All right, real quick, Brad, I got to jump in here. Okay, so Gray Rugemer was in for you on Monday.
Yeah.
And Jared Cohen asked, what was it like to play for Bill Belichick? And Gray said, you know what? The funny thing is, we'd be in our pregame stretch, and Belichick would come around, or a pre-practice stretch, and Belichick would come around, and he would make a little inside joke about something that was said in the locker room maybe 3-4 days ago, and everyone on the team was like, are we supposed to laugh at that? Are we not supposed to laugh at that? So when I was editing these cuts for the show today, and I heard I had no idea what was going on Sunday.
Right,
come
right.
on. Really?
That's what, well, let me get through this. So here is more Bill Belichick. I am far from an expert. And people call him Bill Belichick, and it's fine. It's easy, low-hanging fruit. I'm far from an expert in this stuff.
I could tell you that in my entire coaching career, I have never talk to any player, staff member about football air pressure. That is not a subject that I have ever brought up.
This to me, this upcoming, I have not heard how Eric edited this, but this to me was the most interesting takeaway from this morning. This was this morning a couple of hours ago. Now, Tom Brady is supposed to speak later today. Here's Bill Belichick on Tom Brady would know more about this than I would.
Tom's personal preferences on his footballs are something that he can talk about in much better detail and information than I could possibly provide.
So, did he throw him under the bus with that comment?
I think so.
Did Bill Belichick throw Tom? And I agree with you. Did he throw Tom Brady under the bus? And in my humble opinion, the answer is yes. Look, if a player goes out on the mound and he scuffs a baseball, do I think it's the manager that is instructing him to go do that? Or do I think it's the player that is doing that? It's the player that's doing it. Aaron Rodgers said earlier this week that he prefers his footballs, when he throws them, to be overinflated. Everybody has a personal preference. It's like a pitcher going out to the mound, and he will sit there and dig a hole and move it all around so that he's comfortable with it. A quarterback has a certain way of going about his business. He's a tactician. I'm going to talk to Jake about this in particular. But it seems to me that if it is proven that Belichick knew what was going on, and I brought this up yesterday, that he should not coach in the Super Bowl. Very simple. Look, Sean Payton was thrown down on the ground and kicked by the NFL. And if you look at the Saints, have the Saints ever recovered from what happened to the punishment in Bountygate? And do we really know everything that happened in Bountygate, by the way? And the answer to that would be no. The same thing is sitting here with Belichick. If, in fact, it comes out that he, Bill Belichick, knew what was going on, then he should not be allowed to coach in the Super Bowl, in my opinion. That's the way that the NFL should go about their business. They won't, because they don't want this to become a spectacle and a farce and all that stuff, in their view. In my view, it is the spirit of the game. It is the integrity of the game. If you're a Patriots fan, all you're doing is saying it was 45-7. This is a whole bunch of do about nothing. No, they're caught cheating. If, in fact, Brady believes, now did Brady and Belichick sit together in their office or wherever they want to go about their business and say, this is how I'm going to handle it in the morning, and this is how you're going to handle it in the afternoon? Or did Belichick this morning say something that implied that, look, I'm not guilty of anything. Go after Tom Brady on this one. Bill Belichick, last time I checked, he cuts guys in a heartbeat. He trades guys out of there in a heartbeat. It doesn't matter who they are, what they are. He wants to go win games. Was the way he handled this morning the right way for his quarterback? Again, I don't know that. Are they certainly going to be on the same page? The two of them can't sit there and say, I know nothing about it. So the coach went first and said, I know nothing about it. You'd have to ask Tom about it. So now Tom cannot sit there this afternoon and say, I know nothing about it. You have to ask Bill about it.
And you know how this works in pro sports, Brad. This story came out on Sunday. So on Monday, I'm sure the PR department with the Patriots started circling the wagons. How are we going to approach this? We need to talk about it. We need to try to put it behind us as quickly as possible. So they spoke to Belichick. And yeah, I'll be just as curious as you to hear what Brady says, because you're right. If it's, you know, hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil, then we've got a big problem because someone's not telling the truth.
Here's Andrew Luck, and this is interesting. I wanted to hear from Andrew Luck because his team got run over 45-7, and people are saying, well, they didn't have any shot in this game, but now here's his feelings losing the AFC Championship game to the Patriots.
Yeah, it's sort of the energy, you know, is sort of sucked out of you. You do feel deflated.
Zing!
Deflated.
Ah, that's Stanford education.
It's pretty good.
It was, and he said, oh, I didn't mean to say it like that. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Uh-huh. That was last night at the Pro Bowl party, party.
There's a Pro Bowl in town?
I guess.
Oh, is it the same Pro Bowl that somebody drafted Andy Dalton to be on as a quarterback?
Yes, he is a Pro Bowl quarterback, apparently.
Andy Dalton is a Pro Bowl quarterback. Look at the tape! Andy Dalton. That is reason for me to go see the Pro. I just don't care. I don't care. I thought that John Madden's take on all this was interesting. And John Madden very seldom does interviews, but John Madden did speak about this. And give me a minute here. We'll get to Jake. We'll be fine. So the Hall of Fame coach weighed in and said that with everything going on around Tom Brady and Brady laughing off in his radio interview earlier this week, that there was nothing to this. John Madden said yesterday that would have to be driven by the quarterback in regards to the footballs. Quote, that's something that wouldn't be driven by a coach or just the equipment guy. Nobody, not even the head coach, would do anything to a football unilaterally, such as adjust the amount of pressure in a ball without the quarterback not knowing. It would have to be the quarterback's idea, this John Madden that's weighing in on this. John Madden would go further in this. He is the affected, Madden said. He is the only guy. I heard some of the pundits saying the ball is easier to catch, but that would never, ever, ever be done for unless the quarterback wanted it. You wouldn't do something for a receiver to catch the ball if the quarterback couldn't throw it. So it's going to be done for the quarterback.
Interesting.
And it's John Madden weighing in, which, look, not everybody, there's no Jesus Christ that is out there. But for John Madden to weigh in along those lines, I say there's no Jesus Christ that's out there. When I mean coaches and all that, but I feel like he's about as close to as someone I want to hear from on this and is at the top of the top. And for him to weigh it in, that's exactly right. This is something with the quarterback. And Tom Brady is supposed to speak this afternoon. On the other side, Jake Plummer will join us. We're going to ask Jake directly about all this. You ever have football? Is he even going to admit to this, by the way? Love Jake to death, but is this one of these things that stay inside the locker room? Senator John McCain will join us. ASU U of A football fans, Tom Luganville, ESPN National Recruiting Director, his view, and Terry Bradshaw as well on his big event next week here in the Valley. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Jake Plummer joins us for a couple of minutes, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Jeremy Kitamura handles all of your planning needs with Ameriprise Financial. Ameriprise Financial, Jeremy Kitamura, a winning combination for Jake Plummer, who will be in the Valley next week. You are in the Wounded Warriors game on Wednesday night. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
How will that be for you, given, you know, the past, the present? What are you looking at in that game?
You know, I don't know a whole lot about it. I just know that, you know, there's some guys that love the game of football, and they're Wounded Warriors that really go beyond what people would imagine. A guy who's lost a limb or been injured fighting for our country, they get competitive and go out and play some ball and get a go on the field with some Hall of Famers and football players like myself that will hopefully have a good time. I've heard it gets competitive, and the NFL team hasn't won yet, so... You know, we'll see how it goes. I'm just excited to be out throwing the rock around and be in the sunshine.
Did I hear that Jeremy Stott's in that too? Have you heard that?
Yep. He's in it. There's a whole slew of guys. You know, a lot of players like to play in this, and gives them a chance to, you know, do something you know, special for these guys that went over and fought for our country. And in a way, you know, it's obviously for me, you know, with the involvement of Pat and and what he stood for, and. And to meet some of these guys that'll, I'm sure, have some questions about Pat, and maybe some of them might even have bumped into Pat along the way. And so, you know, it'll be a fun event. And, you know, obviously, you get a, like I said, get to play football, but it's a lot of fun. You can throw the rock around and see what happens.
There's a lot of buzz around American Sniper. Have you seen it?
Chris Carson? Haven't yet, but I've kind of heard a lot about it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to trying to go check that out.
Having
two kids and stuff might be tough to get away for a movie.
No, I got you. Jake Plummer with us. You're so the rest of your itinerary down here, you're going to golf at some point, at some place, working on that. You're going to go to 16 on Friday and take in Tiger. Mm-hmm. That's done.
Yeah.
So you have any other events that you can share that people can find you when you're down here?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be participating in a real fun event called Tazon Latino. It's downtown from, I think, 9 to 12 on Thursday. So that's just, I don't know, it's a flag football game or a skills challenge. You're just having a lot of fun with some Univision TV stars and other former football players that go out and just have a good time doing that. And then got a deal with the NFL Buzz. They have free health screenings for retired players. So I've yet to do that. So I'm going to take advantage of that, where they do the full head-to-toe body checkup. And it's really great. It's free. So, you know, you go down there, and it's done by some really good doctors, and just gives you a you know, something to look at and see where you're at, where I am health-wise. I know I'm in good health and feeling good, but it's always good to get checked up. And that, and then after that, I got a deal with the Legends Lounge. Going to go. Actually, I failed to mention, I got a 20-30 minute appearance at the experience for the ASU athletics. They got a booth there, so I'm going to be there for a little bit, you know, making a quick appearance, and then been on to the Legends Lounge to do a little Q&A and a talk on some football related stuff, and then free to go after that. So lots of happening.
Jake Plummer with us. Okay, so the Legends Lounge one is going to be questions about how much air do you put in a football and how much air do you take out of a football and who do you believe and who's deflecting the truth? I mean, hopefully by next week, I'm sure by next week, this, I don't know if it'd be cleared up, but it's going to hang around, I think, Jake. This story's not going away.
Yeah, it obviously will be around. I mean, it's because who it is. It's New England, and they already were caught cheating once. Filming New York Jets signals and crossing that line of ethics that I know the teams try to find advantages. They try to find ways to gain an edge on their opponent, whatever way possible, but they seem to take it to that extreme of, you know, like videotaping, actually stealing signals and then you know, taking the balls and deflating them. And people may think, well, whatever, it's just a flat ball. No, it makes a big difference the only thing I can say, I mean, down in the valley there, the sun's shining, go get a basketball, put it in your car all day in the sun, and then take it out and bounce it and see how awful it feels in your hand. It doesn't feel good. Go shoot a basket. It's going to clang off the rim. Now deflate that a little bit and bounce it. It feels good. Your hand kind of meshes into the leather. You can feel it. You shoot it. It bounces around. I mean, it makes a big difference. Now, the football, same thing. So, you know, they just, you know, they're competitive. You can't fault them for being competitive and wanting to win. But, you know, when they're doing that, crossing that line, how many times have they done it? How many in the past? Who knows? How come it hasn't been discovered yet? Who knows? I know this, when Tom Brady gets sacked and if he doesn't like it, he'll scream in the referee's face, inches from his face, screaming at him and never get flagged. So there's a whole set of rules that kind of go along with the amazing, most winningest team in the history of the world, the Patriots. And I think it's unfair. They should be fined. They should be penalized. Not next week during the game, but they should pay a price for cheating. They've crossed the line. They crossed the rules. I cheated before. I took the balls that they had from the kid with the balls right before the game, and I rubbed them on the grass to try to get that slick sheen off of them. So I also cheated, but not to the extreme measure of taking air out of the ball, actually. I mean, I just was trying to get the ball prepared so that I would feel comfortable under center and be able to do my job. But deflating it in a cold weather, rainy game, I think that's crossing the line.
Okay, when you played, did you ever have a football and you felt you could immediately tell this is underinflated or overinflated?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There were times I'd go back in back where the balls were and just give a feel for each one of them that were game balls. And if there was one that was like, you know, back then we didn't get a condition. I mean, you see the difference. Watch film of games in the early night or like late 90s, early 2000s. The balls actually were a different color. Now you look at them, they're a dark brown. Mm. So that quarterbacks get a condition in their balls. They get a rub, this thing called, it's a dirt of some kind. They put it on there, and it takes that shine off of it. It gives it a feel, a natural feel of leather so that you can feel good holding the ball. It makes it a little bit more grippy. We didn't get a chance to do that when I was playing. That rule was changed by none other than Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. Brady sent me a letter that I signed and sent to the commissioner that asked that QBs be allowed to condition the balls themselves so that since we have it in our hands every play. So, you know, there's obviously, you know, it's something I think, you know, the QBs should have a say in how the ball feels, but there is a set rules that you have to follow, and the Patriots crossed that by after they were checked and they were all good. Obviously, they went and let air out of them so that they could, you know, play better. Now, it didn't matter. They beat the Colts hands down. The blitzes that they ran on the Colts offense didn't have an effect by that, but it's just crossing that line. It, again, gives you more fuel to either, whether you like the Patriots or not, you obviously, you're going to be rooting against them now. They're cheaters. No one likes a cheater.
Okay, so Tom Brady, though, let me go back on this. Tom Brady wrote you a letter to send to the NFL when you played that the footballs, was this to every quarterback, Jake?
The deal. We used to get the brand new footballs right out of the bag. And if you ever get a brand new NFL, legitimate, real leather football, they had that when you throw with them for a little bit, you look down and there'll be a pink residue left on your hand where you know, I lick my fingers to get a grip on the ball. There'll be a pink residue. Now that residue is like a slick sheen on the ball, and it's not comfortable when you're in a moment when you need to make a play. And if there's a little moisture, the ball can be slick at times. So at that moment in mid 2005, I think it was 2006, I got a letter and a call from Brady that they were wanting to see if I was on their side and wanted to be able to the QBs condition our footballs. And of course I was, because prior to that, the kickers would do it. They'd rub it down with a little rag, take a little bit of that sheen off, but that wouldn't get it completely ready. And then, you know, game time, game balls, you had to play with what you had. And it never really affected me. I mean, when the ball hit my hand at the snap, I didn't care if it was a basketball or a Nerf ball. I was going to drop back and make a play. But, you know, it does make a difference when you can kind of grip that thing and it feels more secure in your hand.
Do you have less respect for Brady today, or do you think this is Belichick's deal? Or do you think it's both?
You know, it's hard to say because, you know, I think any head coach should know everything, like they say, that's going on their team. And I don't have any less respect for Brady. He's a competitive guy that wants to win and wants to, you know, continue to be one of the best winningest quarterbacks, sixth time he's been to the Super Bowl. I mean, let's not discount the fact that they are a great organization, but it just sours you a little bit. It's like the whole steroid thing, these big monsters hit home runs. I mean, Barry Bonds, I love Barry Bonds when he was playing. He's a great player. But you have to look at it now with an asterisk, like, man, he was cheating. He was using steroids to get stronger and be able to hit home runs. So, you know, it taints it a little bit. But, you know, regardless, you know, Brady makes plays. He's a great player. It just gives it a little bit of a – it tarnishes it a little bit, I think. It tarnishes his legacy in my eyes.
John Madden weighed in and said it's all on the quarterback.
Probably. I would imagine so. I mean, Tom Brady's the one that has the ball in his hands every day or every play. And I'm sure that he orchestrated that. I mean, Belichick probably didn't even know. You know, I mean, at some point, you have a Tom Brady. I mean, kind of let the guy do what he wants, right?
Yeah. No. I get it. Here's one last thought on it. If this comes out in the next 24, 48 hours, 72 hours, Belichick spoke this morning. I don't know if you saw it or not. He said you've got to ask Brady. Brady is speaking on this matter this afternoon. I'm of the opinion that, look, Sean Payton lost a year in New Orleans, and we still don't know what happened in Bountygate. And we don't know everything. And the Saints have never recovered from that, by the way. If there's something along the lines of Belichick in the next couple of days, I'm fine sitting him down for the Super Bowl. I'm not fine taking the quarterback off the field in the Super Bowl for this. But, you know, finding Tom Brady $250,000 or $25,000 isn't going to mean jack to him, in my opinion. Taking draft picks away doesn't mean anything. Eventually, you got to sit somebody down for this sort of thing because it is the integrity of the game. If it's baseball and a pitcher's cutting a ball or scuffing a ball, if a basketball player is found trying to deflate air out of the ball so he can have a softer shot, it's the same sort of deal as what's happened here. This can't just be excused away. It's the intent of what has taken place. So I don't even care about 45-7. Do you agree on this? Do you agree on my view on Belichick setting him out of the Super Bowl or not?
You know, I don't think so. I think that's an extreme measure that would be going too far. I mean, they've made it this far. I don't believe.
Second time with him.
Yeah, there's got to be something. If it's not at the Super Bowl, it's got to be next year. It's got to be something. I mean, I don't think they're going to get to the bottom of this right now. It's a distraction for both teams, probably more so for the Patriots. And you never know how a distraction will work. It can take guys' minds off of other things and the focus away from the game, which is sad. But ultimately, they cross the line. And when you cross the line, there has to be something that comes down as a fine or a penalty. And to penalize them in the biggest game of the year, I don't know. It's out of my hands. It's into the commissioner's hands. And we all know, you know, if Roger Goodell has shown a backbone in the past, I'm not sure. Will he have to do it now? I don't know. This is a really tricky position to be in. And, what happened, obviously, they like you said, they cheated. So there's got to be a punishment. But I don't think you do it in the biggest game of the year. Let's make sure the balls are inflated correctly and let these two teams go at it and play the game. But afterwards, there's got to be something that comes down.
I'll meet up with you at some point next week. We'll work everything out. I appreciate the time, as always.
Awesome. Hey, thank you, Brad, and I look forward to seeing you guys, too, next week.
You got it. There's Jake Plummer. Brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Everyone has retirement questions. Every last one of you have retirement questions. You can ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura. I know Jeremy personally. Jeremy is terrific. Ask him about the new Confident Retirement Approach. You can call Jeremy today to review all your wealth planning needs. None better than Jeremy. His office is in Scottsdale, Arizona. He can be reached at 480-922-4216. 480-922-4216. Ameriprise Financial, Jeremy Kitamura, and Jake Plummer. That's a winning combination. Senator John McCain joins me on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. Terry Bradshaw later in the show, and Tom Luganville on National Letter of Intent Day. If you're an ASU or U of A football fan, you're going to want to hear Tommy's take on where the Sun Devils and Wildcats are and football in Arizona, how that is being viewed nationally at the high school level. That's still to come, too. Senator John McCain joins us now for a couple of minutes. It's been a busy Thursday. Jake Plummer, Terry Bradshaw, John McCain. It's like Super Bowl is already here and the game doesn't even roll into town until next week. The senator joins us for a couple of moments. I'm curious.
Hey, Brad.
Hi, Senator McCain. How are you?
Fine. Living the dream.
Living the dream. That's
trying to do the Lord's work in the city of Satan.
Are you going to take a break next week and come out here?
Absolutely. I will be there at the game and look forward to it. And since I have a tense dislike for both teams, it will be interesting to watch.
How are you going to get over to the Open for Tiger or for the Pro-Am? Or are you just coming in day of and getting out day of?
Unfortunately, I'm coming in the day of and getting out the next morning, unfortunately, because we are having a heavier schedule in the Senate this year, and so it's the timing is, but I'm looking forward to it, and, you know, I'm so proud, frankly, Brad, that Arizona and Phoenix and our valley is hosting not only this, but the Pro Bowl, and, you know, I think we've gotten over some of that negativity that existed a few years ago, and it's still one of the greatest places for people all over the country to come and watch the premier sporting event of the year.
I was surprised. I don't know if you saw the story this last week. Mayor Wires over in Glendale saying that they're going to lose money. You can't just look at the day of the game, and I don't even think that's accurate, but it was a surprising comment coming from the mayor of Glendale. Did you see it? Do you have a thought on that?
I didn't see it, but the chamber, Arizona Chamber, says that it's a huge input. I mean, I don't know how you could argue otherwise with just hotel rooms, you know. Maybe he knows something I don't, and perhaps a lot of the people don't stay in Glendale mm-hmm. or dine there. Maybe they in other places. But I don't think it's an accident that every major city in America really wants to have the Super Bowl in their city. I don't think that they would be that eager for that if it's a money-losing proposition. Also, it's a big prestige deal, Brad. You know that. I mean, look at the publicity that the Valley of the Sun is going to get just by the fact that people are saying, here we are in Glendale, Arizona.
No, that's right. No, that's right. I was really surprised by that. Yeah. Let me get over to the game then.
Sure.
Deflated footballs, Senator.
Isn't that amazing?
The number two story today on the Today Show. So the number two item that is of importance in our country is whether the footballs were deflated or not, according to one media outlet. Now, what do you make out of this story?
You know, I'm just an everyday sports fan. I'm proud to be a United States Senator. I'm proud to be chairman of the Armed Services Committee. But I'm just an average, everyday sports fan, a person who loves sports, who is a mediocre high school athlete, and I have an opinion.
Sure.
And so, as a sports fan, I think it's terrible. And this isn't the first time there's been some controversy there surrounding Mr. Belichick, and I hope that there's nothing to it, but it seems that something has happened here they still would have won, but it certainly apparently gave an advantage to someone who likes to get a better grip on the football. And speaking as a sports fan, I think there ought to be a complete investigation. And these things, you know, wasn't like a hurricane or an earthquake. Somebody did it, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's clear that they were underinflated or deflated. I don't know which. And so I think there ought to be a full investigation. You have just deprived X million Americans of an honest and equally competitive football game, which is obviously how many million people watch that game, Brad?
No, and the amount that was wagered on it. Oh, by the way, and look, it's the intent.
Yeah.
It's the intent, Senator. It's the intent. And look, I see you at Diamondback games. I see you at Suns games. Gamesmanship is one thing. I've heard that argument brought up here. Well, it's gamesmanship. What's the difference between scuffing a baseball if you don't get caught cheating? Greg Popovich can turn up the heat on the Miami squad last year in game one of the NBA Finals.
Taking a poor performance-enhancing substance. If it's okay to have that kind of advantage, then where does that stop? I'm hearing outrage even directed at my office. I think it's really, really something that there needs to be a full and complete investigation, and maybe we should wonder, did the quarterback know that he was throwing a deflated football? I would think that is pretty likely that he did. So, Belichick, obviously, from his record, is one of the most successful coaches in football. And by the way, his father worked at the Naval Academy Athletic Department for many, many years. He grew up in Annapolis. So I've always been an admirer of his, and I'm not assuming that he's guilty. Don't get me wrong. Everybody has the right of innocence until proven guilty, but it sure doesn't smell very good.
Well, and the Tom Brady side of it, and I don't want to get too bogged down in this, but it is what everybody's talking about. Tom Brady had to know the size of the footballs, and John Madden was saying it's the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers talked about how he wants them to be overinflated. Look, if a basketball's underinflated, I've talked to great Suns players through the years that said, I wanted my basketballs underinflated. We'd go to places where they tighten the rims to make it harder for us to shoot. I get it. It's just, if Belichick is found to be culpable in this, suspend him from the Super Bowl is what I've said on the air. If it's Brady, it's a player on the field, I don't think you can go that far. This would be a second offense, though, in Belichick's case. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Did you
could we talk about the Coyotes a second, you know, because we've been obviously disappointed in what's happening. Not only they're losing, but they're losing by
a lot,
large numbers.
Yeah,
and I think that Tippett is one of the really outstanding coaches and individuals. I hope this new owner will buy some talent. Shane Doan deserves a better group of teammates. There are some outstanding players, Ekman Larson, Hansel, but the fans in the Valley deserve a more competitive team, and I hope that he's a very wealthy man. I haven't met him yet. I knew the Canadian owners, who mm-hmm. I thought were good people, but we got to go out there and get some talent, and we need to make some money off the Coyotes. As you know, there's this 5-year clause there, and so I hope that the new owner will go out, get some talent, and give us a team that one of the best coaches in hockey can have.
Here's the other side of that. So, Senator, Shane Doan has given his heart and his soul here in Arizona.
Yep.
And I want to see Shane Doan win a title. And I don't believe that that's going to happen here in the next few years based on what we're seeing on the ice. I'm fine if they said, we're going to trade Shane for assets. I don't want to trade Shane Doan, but I'm fine with it. It's getting to that point where I want to see good things happen to good people. And Shane's put in entirely too much, and they're tearing the thing down to the ground. Bodker's out for the next 6 weeks with the surgery. Yandel's got another year and a half left on his contract. And the focal point's on Shane. I don't know if you agree with my thought on that or not.
Well, you know, I think we've been blessed with some really incredibly wonderful athletes in our Valley. Larry Fitzgerald springs to mind, among others. I think Steve Nash was one of those. There's a number, but especially Shane Doan. I have seen him, and you have too, like when they play the Kings, that guy puts the whole team on his back.
Yeah.
You know, I think he still has a record for number of hits, I think, in the game against the Kings. But I agree with you. He deserves better. I would hate to see him leave. Unless we're going to get him a supporting cast, he is in the twilight zone. I haven't known of a finer athlete. He could have left a number of times,
sure,
as you know, but he decided to stay. As far as the Suns are concerned, I think they're fun to watch. I think they've got a good base I think they got a great coach, and I think that they've been playing exciting basketball, and so I'm glad to see that kind of resurgence going on. And I'm excited about ASU and U of A. I think you're going to see U of A, frankly, in the finals of the NCAA. I know they've had some mistakes they're still learning, but we are blessed in Arizona with some very high quality athletic teams, both college and pros. And again, I love to watch them, my friend.
I'll let you go off this one last question. So Randy Johnson,
sure,
is going into the Hall of Fame. We know that. We know that a week from Saturday, Kurt Warner will find out if he's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You don't know your schedule off the top of your head, but do you want to go to Randy's deal in Cooperstown, or if Kurt goes, would you want to go to Canton?
I'd love to go to both. Again, there's two examples. Randy Johnson was a bit of a recluse in some ways, as you know. But over the years, he matured, and I think that a good example of the kind of individual that he is, that he chose to be wearing a Diamondbacks jersey in the Hall of Fame, and we're very honored by that. Kurt Warner, my God, if he'd have been quarterbacking, we'd still be playing.
And he thought about it.
Yeah,
that's
did.
You're right.
He did. And by the way, I think Bidwell's done a good job in his ownership. I think Sarver is doing a lot better. Owners matter, as you know.
Yep. Stay well. Appreciate the time, as always, Senator.
Always, guys. See you at the Super Bowl.
There's Senator John McCain with us for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. Appreciate Senator John McCain. I'm Brad Sussmat. Let's turn our attention away from the Super Bowl and Airgate and the Suns and focus in a little bit on National Letter of Intent Day, as we do here on Sports 360 AZ in partnership with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We focus on National Letter of Intent Day. We are going to be in Tucson. We'll be at ASU. We'll be at NAU, and we'll be over at Arizona Christian as well, as the National Letter of Intent Day just overtakes the state of Arizona. Tom Luganbill joins us. National Signing Day coming up. National Recruiting Director at ESPN, college football analyst. I told Eric this story, I believe, a while back, that I'm sitting at a game watching Tom play high school football, and his grandmother leans over to me and she says, you know that we're cousins with you, like fourth generation, something along those lines. So I've always looked at Tom differently in that sense. He's my cousin, and his sister is here in the Valley. She was part of the Fiesta Bowl. His father's here. I did games around his father, and I actually did a game of Tom in junior college where he threw for, like, I don't know. I got a call like a week before saying, we have a TV game with Billy Ray Smith, Brad. We need to do the play-by-play. Palomar against Cerritos, and Tom and the team put up like 700 yards. Do you remember that game, by the way?
I remember a lot of those games. I remember I didn't finish many of those games. We had a pretty good ball club back then.
Yeah, and you've gone on and done very, very well for yourself. National Recruiting Director at ESPN. Letter of Intent Day is coming up. I wanted to have you on about ASU, U of A, and let's start with the Sun Devils. And what do you see out of Todd Graham? He has said to me repeatedly, Tom, that we aspire to be a top 10, top 15 recruiting class every year. Have they punched through that mark yet?
I think they're getting there. They're on their way. They're certainly a top 25 program right now in relationship to that. And I think they've done a great job of blending the high school ranks with the junior college ranks, and recognizing within their roster, you know, where do we need some immediate contributors that are maybe a little bit older that we need to come in and play right away, and then maybe where do we have some options where we can take some time, we can develop. A primary example of that would be Bryce Perkins out of Chandler High School, who's a kid that is an ideal fit for their offense, maybe not ready to play right away, so they bring them along, redshirt and develop them. And I think that's where Todd and the staff have done a really nice job of examining their own roster and filling out their needs.
There's a lot of buzz about Brady White, the quarterback from Hart Newhall, coming into this class. He's the crown jewel. How good is he?
Reminds me an awful lot of Kyle Allen that was out of the Valley last year, that's now at Texas A&M. You're not going to get some of the athletic traits in terms of the dynamic run-pass options out of the quarterback with Brady White. He's going to be a precision passer, the guy that's going to get the ball out of his hand. He is a really good anticipator of routes. So it's hard to sack him. It's hard to get into his face, because once he's comfortable within the scheme, the ball comes out of his hand so quickly. So I think you're going to get more of a passing skill set than you're going to get the run threat. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he comes along, because I thought this was a really important, for two reasons. You've got to solidify yourself at quarterback, but ASU has always been at their best when they've had a significant presence in the state of California, and I think that's critical as well.
And they've done a good job on the JUCO route. Obviously, Jalen Strong this year is going to be a first-round pick. He can point to that. I think last year Chris Young did a nice job, and some of the other JUCO players that they've brought in here. Does that concern you on the JUCO route? Do you think they should be more high school focused?
Well, I think that every program, if they feel they've got some immediate needs to be filled with guys that they're expecting to make an impact, are always going to be somewhere between, you know, 1 to 3, maybe 2 to 4 guys, depending on what their needs are and their lack of depth. With this current class, you've got Raymond Epps as a tight end, who we really like as a player, and then our number one ranked outside linebacker in the junior college class is Devon Durant. So I think that their number of JUCO players is probably right about where it needs to be, because what you've got to be careful with at the junior college ranks is really harming your depth if a guy doesn't pan out, because it can be a high-risk, high-reward proposition. If the guy has 3 years to play to, or just has 2 years to play to, if you bring him in, he better contribute to your football team. So you don't want to have 5 to 7 to 8 to 10 JUCO guys every year, because I think you're hurting your 4 and 5 year depth. So I think the number right now for the Sun Devils is just about right.
Tom Luganbill with us, National Recruiting Director at ESPN, College Football Analyst with Brad Sussmat. Okay, one last question on ASU. Does the fact that Mike Norvell, still here as offensive coordinator, was pursued last year, had some interest this year, does that help them offensively to get to that top 10 guys? There enough juice, I guess, for Graham Norvell's schedule. They open with Texas A&M next year. They played Notre Dame this year, Wisconsin 2 years ago, that he can walk into living rooms and say, we're now a program, we're having our stadium refurbished too, that you need to look at as a top 10. I asked you about that on a recruiting standpoint. I guess I'm looking for, do they have all the intangibles in place, Tom?
Well, as you know, before moving to San Diego, my father was an assistant on the staff at Arizona State, yep, under Frank Cush and Daryl Rogers. And, you know, I have very strong feelings that ASU should be and can be a top 10 program year in and year out. All the resources available, fantastic location, great campus. You do have upgraded resources and facilities. You referenced the stadium. And right now, in terms of kids and how they perceive schools, so much of that is offensive-oriented, the scheme, the excitement, creating that cool factor, that with Mike Norvell and how they're operating offensively, I think that pays huge dividends when they get in the living room.
Let's move over to U of A. Rich Rod never seems to go with guys that have all stars or rated as the best of the best, but he always seems to have teams that are competitive. He's done a great job down in Tucson, making it more than a basketball school. What's your view of Rich Rod's class for LOI Day?
Well, I think what they've done is a really good job of addressing needs within their offensive and defensive front. If you look at this class, you look at the top 3 to 5 to 6 guys, they're all trench players on either side of the football. And that's important to me, because I think that's where championships are won and lost, and the difference between the good and the great. Having broadcasted a U of A game this year, there's a lot of improvements that need to be made on the defensive side of the football, in size, in athleticism, in depth. And so I think those are areas where they recognize and have addressed, because if you look at the bulk of this class, it's a very lopsided class on the defensive side of the football, and with guys that we would turn to be athlete-type players that could play on either side of the football once they get them in the fold and decide what they want to do with them. And so, you know, we referenced ASU's facilities enhancements and upgrades. What U of A just did with their stadium and on the end zone, I think that came at the exact right time to upgrade their status and their perception amongst prospects. And then, you know what? Wins cure all woes. And
sure,
I think for them to have the season they had on the field, it's going to pay future dividends down the road in recruiting.
There's no question that offensively, with Solomon and Wilson and the bevy of receivers that they had, that Rich has done a terrific job, and his staff, of addressing needs. We've been down there quite a bit, and I just sense optimism. But you brought up the speed factor. They've never really had elite athletes. Are you seeing that in this class in terms of getting more athletic within the Pac-12 conference?
Yeah, I think I am. And again, if you go back to the Dick Tomey era, and you look at those defensive teams and you look at where their players were from, they were California kids. And so you look at where the skills coming from, like Anthony Marisol, he's a corner. He's out of Bakersfield, California. Cedric Peterson, a wide receiver out of Moreno Valley, California. That's where they're spending the bulk of their time to upgrade skill, upgrade speed, and more than anything, too, if you look at their front seven, upgrading size.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not a very big football team. Now, when you're playing a lot of spread teams in the conference, it helps aid that, but they do need to get bigger. And listen, Rich Rod has proven that he can evaluate and he can develop, because they'll take a guy, as you referenced, that's maybe a good high school player, and create a much better player at the collegiate level. And I think he's one of the best offensive coaches in all of college football.
Before I let you go, Tom Luginbill, National Recruiting Director at ESPN, college football analyst. What is your view, and that at ESPN and all the recruiting platforms there, of the high school player in Arizona? You know, Arizona's been viewed as there's a couple kids here, a couple kids there. But Tommy, I've seen it through the years now where this is becoming a must stop. Lewerke's going to go to Michigan State. Kyle Allen, you talked about him going to Texas A&M.
Right.
Now, some of these kids don't work out and do bounce back. Connor Brewer now goes from Texas to U of A and is looking around trying to find a place. What's the view of U of high school kids in Arizona nationally?
Well, and Devontae Neal's another one that went to Notre Dame and now at U of A there.
Right.
And I, you know, here's the thing. I've considered to be what I call a top-heavy state. You might not have the depth of top-line players top to bottom year in and year out, but those first 8 to 10 guys are now being viewed as national recruits. And so what you're having is you're having an enhanced competition to keep players in state from outside of the Pac-12, and I think that creates challenges. It's a reflection that the level of competition has grown, but it also creates more challenges for ASU and U of A, and not just from the UCLAs and the USCs and the Utahs, but that to me is something that if ASU and U of A are going to be at their best, they cannot let the best players get out of state, and then they've got to supplement out of California. But when an A&M's coming in and an Oklahoma's coming in or a Texas is coming in, it's a reflection that the caliber of competition has, I think, risen significantly over the years.
Appreciate the time of the visit, Tommy. Stay in touch. Thank you.
Will do. Thanks.
Tom Luginbill, National Signing Day coming up less than 2 weeks. As we said, every week we count it down. National Recruiting Director at ESPN College Football Analyst. I'm Brad Sussmat, Thursday edition Sports360AZ.com. On Letter of Intent Day, we have a clock up. You know, when you have clocks up, it's a big deal. So we're having some fun with Letter of Intent Day. We'll be at U of A, we'll be at ASU, we'll be at NAU, we'll be at ACU. Back with more after this timeout.
One of the things I'm looking forward to is having Terry Bradshaw join us in a couple of moments. I've been a big fan of his work, and obviously he's done a lot of great things away from what you see on Fox. And we've talked about the big events that are coming up next week. Not only is Tiger Woods going to be over at the Open, but on Thursday at noon at the Arizona Biltmore, Frank Lloyd Wright Ballroom. It's the Friars Club. You talk about a terrific group of people. $500. You get to see Terry get roasted. I'm sure there's going to be some jokes, like many jokes, about flattened footballs and all that stuff, which will be fine. And it's one of these events that it's a who's who. Matthew McConaughey and Aaron Andrews, Jimmy Kimmel, Frank Caliendo, Howie Long, Larry King, many, many others. Terry Bradshaw joins Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. The NFL Hall of Fame 4-time winning Super Bowl quarterback. How are you, Terry?
What's up, Brad? What are you doing?
I'm just sitting here doing my show, having a good time with you. I'm excited for the week. It's like your event came along and I saw it. I said, well, it's the Friars Club. There's all these big names and big celebs. and you're going to get roasted, which...
Oh, yeah.
You got a great sense of humor about all this because you've been an open book through your life after football, and so I'm imagining you're open for all sorts of body blows next week.
Well, there are certain people that like to be ultimately private, and there's a private side of me somewhere. I hadn't found it, but I'm sure it's there somewhere. I even rave about my sex life. I think that's just... Which isn't. But anyway, I just have never been a person that tried to hide anything for fear that people would find out what I'm trying to hide. So it's better off just say, be honest and open, and kind of takes away the dynamite a little bit. And I've kind of approached my life like that. And I don't have a problem with it at all. And you have to understand when they want to roast you. I've already started thinking, okay, what are they going to say? Well, they're going to attack me being bald. They're going to attack me being ugly. They're going to attack me being divorced. They're going to attack me being stupid. And then that's just what's easy. And there's no telling what else is out there. And I just got to get ready for it. And I know I'm going to laugh my butt off, but I know some of it's going to sting. It's going to sting big time.
The Make-A-Wish Arizona Foundation, local founding chapter of the now international wish-granting organization, that's going to be part of this. Proceeds from the event benefit the Gift of Laughter, as you hear
right.
Terry there.
Wounded
the
Warriors.
Wounded Warriors, too. I mean, and Wounded Warriors is going to be a big part of next week as well. There's going to be some jokes. I mentioned it off the top before you jumped on board. There's got to be some jokes about the flattened football and the air out of the ball story.
I imagine.
Yeah.
I would imagine. That's unfortunate. That's an unfortunate issue right now that the NFL and the Patriots have to deal with. And I know in the biggest game, the sporting event ever, and I guess maybe the World Cup might be bigger. I don't know. It lasts more. But this is a huge one-day event, and I don't think the NFL is real happy about what's happened. And I don't think New England is either. Now they got the investigation going on, and now people are talking about Spygate. Now they're talking about, well, Brady and Belichick and this and that. And you just sit back and you just go, wow, this is just amazing. It's comical to me in a certain way. And in another way, I feel kind of bad because I, like most folks, kind of like to know, you know, who ordered this? How far up does it go? Kind of like the president. You know, everybody says, well, it's the president, but by the time you get to him, bodies are laying everywhere, and he's still standing because everybody falls on the sword. And you're kind of wondering what – I'm curious, and I know everybody is, as to who ordered this 2 pounds of air taken out of these balls, because it does definitely makes a difference in handling and throwing. Then in the kicking footballs, the air was left in because you want the footballs, if you're kicking them, to be as hard as they can be because they go farther. So it's going to be interesting, and it's unfortunate, but it is going to be an issue – right up to game time where they show the security guards next to the door that enters and into where all the NFL balls are for the Super Bowl. It's going to be a story. And we'll get the answers, and then there'll be the NFL's having an investigation. Then we'll find out what the punishment phase is. And it's just not needed right now.
Terry is going to be roasted, and you can go to friarsclub.com.
Did you say that already?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you're going to get crushed here by the Friars Club. And but I'm curious, and you go to friarsclub.com. I want to make sure people, Terry, know about the event. friarsclub.com. And Terry Bradshaw with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. So did you ever play football where the footballs didn't have enough air in them? And was it make a difference for you, Terry?
I didn't ever have a instance where they didn't have enough air. Matter of fact, they were hard to throw, especially new footballs. They were hard to throw. They have a glaze over them. They're slippery. We would wipe them down with a wet rag. We'd wipe them down, try to get the glaze off of them. We'd take the air out of them and soak them in water. We'd beat them in a. We'd put them in a dryer and dry them off. Anything to get that slickness off of them. Then somebody would air them back up. They always felt fine to me. I don't feel as though we ever played when they were soft. And so I can't say that, but I can tell you we did beat the snot out of them trying to make them a little softer. I think everybody kind of messes with those things trying to get them to feel right because they are not that easy to throw when you first get them out.
Now, comedian Joel McHale is going to be the roast master. The event is next week. Terry, have you been to Arizona much? Do you get out here much to Arizona?
Well, actually, I used to live in Scottsdale. And then I was there for 3 years, and I went to Florida.
Yeah.
Then I came back to Aubrey, Texas, and I got a ranch up in Oklahoma. And my wife and I... We're scouting now, and Howie's trying to get me to come out back out to Scottsdale and in the Phoenix area. So we're gonna look out there. We're gonna look for more land in Texas.
Wait a minute.
I love Arizona, man. I love it. I was a member of Whisper Rock for a couple of three years. Absolutely loved it out there. Love the weather. Love the mountains or hills, whatever you call those things. Love the. Food was awesome. People were friendly. Loved driving around. Really was a great experience. I wish I'd never left there, really. But I did. But I'm looking at coming back.
So this is breaking news. I mean, I've got realtors now pulling over to the side of the road probably saying,
I'm looking for a deal.
Yeah, Terry's house hunting. Terry's out of your house hunting. Why? Kurt Warner can't sell his house in Scottsdale. It's still on the market. They're going to rent it out next week for $25,000. I got a place for you.
Kurt lives in Scottsdale?
Yeah.
He's trying to sell it?
He already moved out. And moved into another place, and his house is vacant. I can get it done. The commission.
Okay, so he bought another house. Oh, he's got too much money.
I mean,
I don't know anybody that can have that owns two houses. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. I'm gonna look at Kurt a little differently than I thought. Now,
shoot, yeah, hit him up.
Well, he needs about a 12 bedroom house, doesn't he? All them kids.
Kids keep rolling on in. Kids keep showing up. That's it. Hey, before I get you out of here, so the game itself, if you're looking at the game, just X and O in it. What are you X and O in around this game? Seattle, New England.
Well, we gotta find out how those defensive backs are. I know Sherman's hurt. One other back got hurt in the game. Thomas, he's hurt. Their pass rush is pretty good. Brady hadn't seen a pass rush like this quite a while. But they're smart people. That coaching staff, New England, they're sharp. Brady's as cool as it comes. He doesn't throw the ball down the field as much as he used to anymore. A lot of short drag routes and bubble screens and, you know, Edelman throwing a pass and tackle eligible. It's all kinds of stuff. So you got to be pretty much up on your game if you play against the New England Patriots. Seattle's got a good coaching staff, but they're really talented. And their secondary is really good. I'm going to pick Seattle just because I cover the NFC. I know Brady needs this game badly to get four. He doesn't want to go 3-3 in Super Bowls. And he scares me because he is brutally, brutally great player. So you got a great quarterback in New England with all those weapons and Gronkowski. And you got two superstar defensive backs that are hurt in Seattle. Seattle, it'll be a close game. Listen, nobody scored. Listen, there's no better offense in this world than Green Bay, but they had a quarterback that was hurt and just wasn't the same. Not the same at all, but I'm going to pick Seattle in a low-scoring game. I don't think it'll be a high-scoring game at all.
Well, get ready. Toughen yourself up because they're coming after you next week.
I know. And you know what? I deserve it.
Terry Bradshaw, appreciate you coming on board, Terry. Thanks.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Can't wait to get out there. Tell Kurt, let me know how big that house is. I need 1,800 square feet.
Good stuff there. Terry Bradshaw, for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmad with you. On Sports360AZ.com, we'll have the Jake Plummer interview that aired earlier today. There's quite a bit of a fuss about that. On him saying, yeah, I cheated when I played, but it was scuffing up footballs before the game started. This is different. And also the letter that he received from Tom Brady when Jake was still playing. I think it was really interesting to hear that. Senator John McCain, Tom Luganville, and others. This segment of the show brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. Have you flown out of Gateway Airport recently? Or maybe you've never flown out of Gateway Airport. I'm telling you, it's the way to go. When I say just plain easy, Southeast Mesa, just off the Santan 202 and the 60, nearly 40 different locations you can fly out of, and it is so simple. You get right up to the gate, right up to the front there, walk through security. You're at the gate before you know it. You can save yourself quite a bit of money. I found $50 fares one way to Las Vegas coming up when it's Pac-12 tournament time. We'll fly on Allegiant Air up to Gateway Airport. Guys, we're all about saving money in this day and age, right? You can fly into Bellingham, Washington, just outside of Seattle, or Eugene, Oregon, up to Portland, into Oakland, into San Francisco. Lots of different places to fly up to Telluride for the ski season, rather, on Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy, part of Sports360AZ.com. We appreciate the support of a Gateway Airport.